far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's the I Love the 80s edition, where we review Kung Fury and Mad Max Fury Road. Thundering outside, we're under this weather advisory.
Oh, I was hoping it was done because you said it was passing over.
It is. I think it's last until 8 o'clock or something. It was pretty close, but I think it's passing now. I don't know, but I'm not too worried. And if the call drops, that means freaking Duke Power cut it because they thought there was a reason to cut the power.
Yeah. So this might be the most 80s week since the 80s between the new Mad Max and Kung Fury. Our time machine opening is really going to be appropriate for this episode.
It's going to be very relevant, is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I guess we should get things started. So this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast, which this is one of these episodes where we're not going to talk about anime, but by golly, they might as well be.
We will be talking about yesteryear, though.
Yeah, it's the whole looking at the old through a new glass.
Yeah.
And Mad Max is relevant because you're... Okay, so the two movies you're talking about is Mad Max Fury Road and Kung Fury. And I am one of the entities of the podcast, Dustin or Zionic, and I've got my co-host John with me.
Yep.
And I guess we saw Kung Fury first, so do you want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. I just watched Kung Fury right before we recorded, and I mean, that was something. I didn't really know about this until this week, but I guess it was a popular thing on Kickstarter that somehow got... well, how much did this cost to make? Millions of dollars or something?
They got close to the $1 million thing. I remember hearing about this and seeing the trailer for it over a year ago. And I was psyched about it by then, is when they put out the Kickstarter. And from what I understand, the version that you saw was, you know, whatever they threw together. But they were going to shoot for $1 million, I think, to try to get it a full, like, 90-minute movie. So pretty much I think what the version they put out, which is, like, 30 minutes long. So I just consider Kung Fury not really a movie but an OVA.
Well, there is an animated part. I think my audio went out for a second.
Okay, yeah, it did. I'm hearing you pick it back up.
There is an animated part where Kung Fury, spoiler alert, dies and goes to heaven and fights a snake. So it's partially actually an animated thing.
So, yeah, I guess we can count that as anime.
Yeah, why not? And when he's doing Kung Fu or in the afterlife in the animated part against the snake of heaven or whatever, I mean, that's like something you'd see out of Fist of the North Star or something, and so is the scene where he's fighting all the Hitler army, you know, the Nazis.
Don't you mean the Nazi army?
Yeah, well, they don't really mention... Oh, man, my audio is so bad.
All right, there it is. You're in.
those Nazis are so pathetic. They just keep getting their asses kicked. I don't think they got in a single attack against the good guys except for when Hitler blasted Kung Fury.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, they're expendable pawns, or green screen pawns by, like, one or two actors. And it's kind of like ragdoll physics, too, which was interesting. But, anyways, for, like, Kung Fury, it's basically, like, this giant nod to 80s action films. And the guy who made it, I think when they did an interview, when he wrote up stuff on Kickstarter, he's from Sweden. And he's just like, you know, I really like Miami, but I'm in Sweden. So I can't afford the money to go there, but I'll just recreate Miami in Sweden through green screen effects. And you know what? I give it to him. He did a pretty decent job.
I thought it was Miami. I didn't know better.
Well, the opening credits says Miami 1985. How did you miss that?
Well, I know. I thought it was really Miami. I couldn't tell that it was just a green screen.
So you can't really crap all these graphics, because if it convinced you, John, the leader and know-it-all of every cinematic special effect out there, if it could confuse you, then definitely it should be up there for the greatest movie ever, or OVA ever, I should say.
So are they still planning to make a movie version, a full 90-minute?
Well, you saw how this ended. I mean, like, clearly, like, the way it ended is the fact that it's like, okay, yeah, this isn't our final goal, but they left it open so then, like, you know, they can, like, get the funding to make a really good movie. Because, like, you're watching it, and we're going to spoil it, who cares? But, the ending, it's with him and Hitler, and I'm expecting there's going to be a Hitler fight, like, at least 5 minutes. And then they kind of, like, sort of sweep that under the rug, or basically hammer it down with Thor's hammer when he squashes him and the robot bird. And then they actually have it like sort of like there's a sequel or to continue it, because they travel into the future to basically like stop Kung Fury and everything. So like they left it open for like them to be like, hey, please throw us more money so we can make this into a really good movie. And I'm really hoping it does do that, because then it'd be like, you know, 90 minutes of like, I guess, like, even if it's 60 minutes, that'd be enough. So I think they can do a really good job. But I think for 30 minutes and giving you the clips versions of what they really wanted to show, like, I think they did a pretty decent job.
Yeah. I mean, there are parts where it kind of, like, goes out because of, like, fake VHS issues, but...
Yeah, tracking issues. Like, that was just kind of a way to, like... We don't really have the funding to animate that whole fight between him and the middle finger arcade robot. But if it did happen, this is kind of what it would be. It kind of reminded me of the Planet Terror film by Robert Rodriguez, when he did the sex scene with him and Gwen, whatever her last name was.
From Grindhouse?
Yeah, the Planet Terror film, because there was a sex scene in there, and they basically like show bits and pieces. And then it cuts to the main guy and Michael Biehn having a discussion of like, some really major character plot point of like, yo, I totally trust you because I know your whole backstory. And I'm like, well, that's news to me because I didn't see anything. So it's kind of on that effect, and I really liked it because only because Planet Terror is a really good film. I know, like, when I know Saturday we're supposed to record, and you obviously went to a coma and never recovered until tonight. But, yeah, we're supposed to record this Saturday. But anyways, yeah, I was... on the Twitch channel with Daryl Surratt from Anime World Order, and someone brought up Mad Max and also Kung Fury as a discussion. Well, we'll get into the Mad Max thing and when we talk about that film. But he was just kind of like, Surratt's a weird dude, man. Even like, it's cool that he does like the game stuff and you can talk to him, but at the same time, he's got his own really weird elitist opinions, because he's just like, he saw Kung Fury, but his thing was like, I don't understand why, like, Kung Fury made the way it looked. Like, that's not how all 80s movies looked. It's like they made a movie that they think what an 80s movie looks like. They just might as well just go watch an 80s movie. But at the same time, it's like...
It's a parody. It's not supposed to be a series.
Yeah, it's a parody. And, like, that's... When I watch 80s films, it's sort of like an exaggeration of that. It's not, a total typical thing of, like, it's 100% accurate. There's tracking issues because, like, they didn't have DVDs in the 80s. So, like, if you... get a busted a VHS player and a tape, then that's what you're gonna get, because yeah, that's what I get when I watch stuff. So.
Yeah, when I was watching that Moon-based Dalos VHS,
yeah,
there were, oh damn it, this stupid audio. There were tons of tracking issues with it, and the audio was so bad that I could barely understand half of the characters, but that's how, like, 80s VHSs are at this point. You know, they've had 30 years to deteriorate. This is like you're watching something that was put on VHS in 1985, and it's got tracking issues, and it's got cheesy old music, and you know, it's not supposed to be, you know, good or whatever. It's supposed to be ridiculous and entertaining.
Now that soundtrack is rocking. Let me just say that, and like, I think they're supposed to put it out eventually. And once they do, I will definitely buy it.
Oh, I figured it was for download already.
Last I checked, it hasn't been out yet, but it should be out by the time this podcast episode comes out. I hope to God.
They have good timing with it, you know, like when the Valkyrie chicks from the Dinosaur Ages show up. And
you mean the Viking chicks?
Well, yeah, but one of them is from like Valhalla, and the other is a Viking, and it's like, I don't know. But anyway, they start playing like metal music when they show up, and it's pretty cool and stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's that synth rock or whatever they had. But I guess to talk about the movie a little bit and spoil whatever we want. I mean, Kung Fury, the plot of it, he's basically a cop. The opening of the film is fantastic because it goes straight into, you know, these street thugs that walk around with like full automatic submachine guns. And there's just an officer casually driving by and he's just like, "Hey, boys, you got a permit for those guns?" And the tough dude has his skateboard and he's just like, "I got your permit right here." Kick flips the cop car and they blow it up by shooting it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And if you can't get past that, then this is not the movie for you, because it can only get more ridiculous from there.
Yeah.
it's just like, it's the spirit of an anime OVA, really. It's just like, it's like a good, it's kind of like on MD Geist levels of like, how more ridiculous could this possibly get?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not how physics works, but so be it, you know. It's not supposed to be like, realistic.
Yeah. Let's make a really fun movie, and that's exactly what this is. And I just love the part where, like, you got the guy with the boombox, and he gets shot because the guy whips out his gun because he wanted the boombox. Then the boombox flies through his shoulder, and he's just like, "Oh man, this song sucks," and then he just keeps walking. So clearly, crime in Miami is really, really ridiculous in 1985. And then they play the arcade game, and then like the arcade game gets mad because they said "fuck you" to it, and then it goes on a giant rampage.
Yeah, it grows arms and legs and starts like tearing up shit.
The middle finger missiles and minigun or whatever that it has.
And then of course Kung Fury has to fight it. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, well, Kung Fury's I love like the attitude he's at is like his Japanese house skyscraper. And there's a chick there who's just like feeling his arm and filling him up, and he's just like, "Yeah, that's a bicep right there." He's just like, "You're stupid. You don't know what muscles are. That's just one of them right there." And then of course he gets the call of like, "We need you, Kung Fury," and he's just like, "All right, this chick's not doing anything for me." And of course he rides around in like that $1 million Lamborghini, and freaking rams into the arcade machine to shoot it a bunch of times, along with a pun that he said that I can't remember what it was, but there's a lot of good puns in this too, so
Yeah, I can't remember what it was either, but
there's always a pun there. And so then anyways, like, he blows up half the city, the chief is mad at him, and
when they introduce the Triceratops partner, right?
Yeah, well, they call him Triceracop.
Yeah.
And he's just and like,
he doesn't speak until about two-thirds through the movie. And then he suddenly has this, like, weird accent and starts speaking.
He's got, like, a British accent, like, proper British or whatever. Yeah.
And then the other dinosaur from the Viking Ages also talks near the end. And he's like, "The power of friendship," or something like that.
Oh, T-Rex, yeah. Oh, what was it? Yeah, so they're at the police station, and that's when, like, Fury turns in his badge. He's just like, "I can't." He's like, "I go against the book because I can't follow the book, and I quit because I stopped Arcade Killer Robot." And then he got Adolf Hitler, who travels through time. So I don't even know the reason why. I guess they explain it. I don't know. But, like, he goes through time and then grabs one of those big-ass 80s cell phones and proceeds to shoot through the microphone, and the phone is floating in the air, killing every officer in the building, including the chief.
Yeah. So I don't quite get why Hitler is in the future, but he seems to come there twice. Like, he comes there in this scene, and then later on he comes there again on the Golden Eagle, and it's...
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense, but I don't think it's really supposed to. It's just like a parody of how stupid time travel movies are.
Yeah, it's just like, this doesn't make sense, but I just don't care.
Exactly.
No, well, the gun scene reminded me of there's a show that I watched recently on Netflix called Danger 5, and one of the episodes was one of the characters, like, they're on a plane and they're trying to get into the cockpit or take out the pilot. But then, so their plan is to basically pick up the phone and talk to the pilot. But then the lady that, like, she points a gun to the phone and shoots it, which winds up putting a bullet into the head of the cockpit pilot on the phone. Yeah, Danger 5 is full of that stuff, which is why, like, I found that show highly amusing during finals.
Was it serious or?
It was a mini. Is a series from Australia that they put on Netflix like recently. The first season's fantastic, and the second season they kind of go for this 80s aesthetic, but it's still entertaining, but just not as good. But it's still, like, I still couldn't stop watching it. And there's some really funny parts here and there in that second season. I don't know if they're gonna do a third season or not. They probably won't. But like, yeah, they kind of have that Danger 5 feel to it, especially like when they do the whole gun shooting thing. Just how ridiculous that is. And then Kung Fury
shoots the phone, Kung Fury does, and it, like, I guess it travels back and kills Hitler, but then he goes back in time to kill Hitler again.
Yeah, well, let's explain how he goes back in a time. So there's a guy in the police force called Hacker Man with giant, like, nerdy glasses and a thick-ass mullet, and he's just like, Hacker's Man is the most powerful hacker in the world. And good thing he's on our side in Miami on the police force or whatever. And so they didn't, like, this is a period when they didn't know how time travel works. So they're just like, all right, we got all these computers and there's an algorithm, and explain it to me in English, Hacker Man. And then he does.
Yeah, he says some, like, total right, nonsense, work. Like, I'll uplink the download and then you'll time travel or something like that. That doesn't mean anything. I love it because it's like, it's kind of what people actually say when they have hackers on TV shows and stuff. It's like just a bunch of techno babble. They're saying some computer related words and hoping that your eyes will glaze over and you won't think about it.
Let's put it into a situation that most common normal people can understand. It's like time travel works like throwing food into a blender. Oh, I get it now.
This guy is like the worst. Ridiculous. This guy's like the worst time travel guy too, because he ends up sending the guy back like 1,200 years when he meant to send him back 60 years.
Yeah, he's like, oh no, I hacked too much time. There's an error. But it's okay, because then Kung Fury arrives in medieval Sweden and gets assaulted by laser eye shooting raptors, which at that point in the film I started applauding, and I realized, yep, this is my movie, because I don't know if I'm going to get that in the Jurassic World movie at all. As much as I want laser shooting eye raptors in Jurassic World, I don't know if it's going to happen. But however, I got it in this film, and so now I'm really, really hyped.
Yeah, I don't think Jurassic World is going to measure up to this.
No, I mean, it has to be good, I think, so.
I hope so. But I need to rewatch those old Jurassic Park films. I haven't seen them in ages.
I wouldn't mind rewatching the first one. That's obviously my favorite. The third one, probably. The second one, nah. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I can't even remember which ones are good or not. I haven't seen
really
them since
just,
I was
really
young.
Just the first one.
Okay.
I remember going to the third one. I remember getting a headache when I left. So that's all I remember.
Yeah.
But luckily for Kung Fury that he's able to run into a Viking chick. And you said her name was Katana or something?
Yeah. Even though she's not Japanese, she's like Swedish.
Oh, she's completely Aryan by the hair, eyes, and skin and everything. And then she calls upon Odin, who's like this old dude and like massive pecs, and even he's just like, you got a nice body. He's just like, thanks, bro.
Oh, that was Thor, I think.
Yeah, Thor. I thought they yelled Odin.
Well, I think they said Thor, son of Odin, or something like that.
Okay.
I know they did mention Odin, but it was supposed to be Thor. because he's got the big helmet like in Avengers and stuff, but he's got a beard because, like, a big beard because Thor's supposed to have a beard in the myths or whatever. But okay. Yeah, then he has like a time traveling hammer. So he after Kung Fury explains to him that he needs to go to the future to fight Hitler, he sends him there. He yells, "Stop! Hammer time!" And then he creates a time portal, and Kung Fury goes through it, but not until after he gives the Viking babes a time traveling cell phone, which he talks about how it has 646 channels on it, and someday everybody will be able to have a car phone because of this great new technology, which is revolutionary. And then she just kind of like stares at it like, what the hell are you talking about?
And the other girl, the brunette, look at it because she comes along too. And then they're like, you know, WTF is this thing? I don't know what, like, what do we do with that? And he gives them her number. He's like, here's my number. Yeah. And I'm just like, we'll see how far that goes, Kung Fury.
The other girl is like writing on some sort of wolf dog kind of
thing.
That's
right, yeah, because the blonde chick, Katana, rides on the T-Rex.
Yeah.
And
somehow they, I guess, use that phone to travel through time or something, because after Kung Fury goes to the Nazi age and beats up some Nazis, then they join him, and also the Hacker Man and Triceracop also show up.
Yeah, so like Kung Fury travels in time, and then there's like these two Germans having a discussion about mustaches.
Oh yeah, that part did go on a bit long. That was maybe the worst part because it lasted like 2 or 3 minutes of them insulting each other's mustaches.
But then, of course, Kung Fury kills the joke by slamming a tank on them, and then is polite enough to tell them "thank you."
Yeah, thank you.
And then proceeds to throw the tank into the Third Reich headquarters. Where Kung Fuhrer is at.
Yeah, that was another very Fist of the North Star thing, the casual tank destruction.
Yeah, that was an episode. One of the best ones. But anyways, yeah, they go into that giant like Fist of the North Star Kung Fu move thing where he's just unstoppable. Oh, we never got to talk about his backstory. So Kung Fury became Kung Fury because they were going after a ninja in the city. And him and his partner went to go capture him, but then his partner wound up being chopped in half. And then for some reason, like, he gets struck by lightning and becomes the prophecy of Kung Fuhrer, or Kung Fury.
Yeah, that happens.
And then he kills the ninja and takes the headband from him or whatever.
I don't quite understand it, but I don't think I'm supposed to. It's just like a cool 80s backstory.
At least there was a backstory. I will say this much. I'll save that till the end of the spoiler full review. But like, there's the one scene where he fights out the Nazi dude, and he's just like, "You shouldn't trust your spine." He rips it out and he goes, "Because it's holding you back."
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was such a dumb and good pun.
I really like the scene in the Nazi fight scene. Where he's riding on a Nazi and using him as like a skateboard. And then he like totally rips the guy's limbs apart after doing that to him. Totally cruel.
Oh my gosh. So then like eventually like Hacker Man turns into a robot, and then Triceracop shows up, and then also the Viking chicks with the T-Rex and everything. And the T-Rex and the Nazi bird get into like a little like slap fight because they have short arms. And I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But they wind up taking out the entire German army. And then Thor winds up squashing them. And then they go back into regular time, which is like a deja vu thing because then the arc. So then he goes out and fights. No, before he gets there, he's riding in his car. But, his Lamborghini is like basically a kit because David Hasselhoff is in control of it or something with the Hoff 9000.
Yeah, it was like a 2001 Space Odyssey reference with
yeah.
The Hoff 9000 kept saying that he can't open the door. And then at the end, he's like, "Don't hassle the Hoff 9000, which was the punchline to the whole thing.
Oh, gosh. Oh, have you seen the music video to this? That David, like the ending song to this, there's a music video that David Hasselhoff put out. That's they completely transformed him through green screen effects by 30 years, and he looks so much better.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
All right, well, I'm definitely going to post that in the show notes on this.
Okay.
But, no, I as soon as I heard that song and it was on iTunes for, like, $1.29, I was like, yep, that's money well spent. That was worth it. But, yeah.
Another thing I thought was funny was when Hitler was, like, trying to give up, and he did this thing that everybody always does to Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z, where he's like, we should join forces, you know, after Vegeta's beat them or whatever. And he's like, we've got so much in common. We both love killing people. We both have the red clothes. You're really fashionable.
Oh, man. Yeah, so apparently Hitler goes back in time, and then, like, Kung Fury is like, wait a sec, I fought this robot before, except they didn't have a Nazi symbol. And then that was pretty much the end. So it's leaving it on this huge cliffhanger of, like, we really want to make this into a better movie.
Yeah, somehow the bird, like, survived being destroyed and saved Hitler and traveled into the future and then was flying around Miami with Hitler in its wings. So
yeah,
I guess they're trying to make more, but is there, like, a new Kickstarter, or do they reopen the old one, or, like, are they trying to get more money? Because I know this got 10 million views on YouTube, so I'm sure there's a whole lot of people who donate.
I think it's going to get the money from, like, people who watch this now and donate afterwards or whatever, because at least it's out there. So if people want to support it, then, like, they can, and then that can go towards making a better film. I do want to say, like, in my conversation with Daryl Surratt on Twitch, I mentioned, like, well, you know, this movie didn't have a chance to add in a sex scene. Like, if it's an 80s movie, it's going to have a sex scene. Like, if you're definitely going to do a parody, it's going to have it. And then that's when Daryl was just like, no, there's no point in doing a sex scene because we have all this pornography now. So, like, there's no point in the film even going that far. And I'm just like, it's a parody. Like, and every 80s movie had a sex scene because porn was not easy to get a hold of at that time.
Yeah, and it's not like they've stopped including those in modern media or anything.
Yeah, like, there's still, like, a love or a sex scene or something, and then, I mean, it may not all be pink or show pink, but, like, at least it'll be there. So I'm just like, you know, if they're going to do a full version, they would have to add that in, especially if they're going to keep up with this. Because if it didn't, it's just like, I can look at it and be like, the movie was great, except it lacked that. Even though that's, like, not the most important thing, but it's still an element that needs to be part of it.
I think that they were going for a little more of a softcore thing with her grabbing his biceps at the start or whatever, but...
Oh, nothing. That's, like, that's watered down the waterfall of softcore.
It might be that they were trying to be really softcore because of YouTube, you know? They really cracked down on nudity.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it could have done with a Golgo 13 kind of style scene, and that would have
that would have been awesome.
More so. Ladies.
A man can dream. And, you know, what's ironic is the fact that the film is 30 minutes long and we've been talking about it for almost 30 minutes, and I think we should probably end it right now.
All right. So I guess we can transition over to the other 80s themed thing that came out recently, which was Mad Max Fury Road.
excuse me, tiny person. Maybe you should like bands that exist now and are popular and good. No.
This is new.
I only need to follow bands like whose lead singers currently are fetuses.
Yeah.
He's like waiting for a pregnant woman to walk by.
He's like, I got my eye on you.
Oh, yeah. Goes into some toddler's house, puts drumsticks in his hands.
You go.
It's like, excuse me, what are you doing in here? Nothing.
She jumps through a closed window.
It's like, whoa, she takes her hipsterhood seriously. Away. Thank God our hipster friend never gets a time machine, or she's going to start going back into the past to create bands so that she can like them.
The Alpha Counter Podcast from the creators of Method to Madness. Find them on iTunes and alphacounter.com.
Have you heard of the 3DPD phenomenon?
No, what's that?
3DPD is especially otaku who favor the 2D cartoon characters and video game characters. So it's like no real woman in any physical attributes is full of imperfections and could never hold a candle to a idealized cartoon character. 3DPD, three-dimensional pig disgusting.
No, that's fine. Good. Yeah. Let them all stay in a room and watch TV.
Never
breed. And then the rest of you guys who are normal, more women for you. That's
more for me.
Yeah, no, that's always good. When there's a whole group of people that's like, we'll never date so-and-so, good, because now you're out of the game and right. We don't even have to weed through you.
You're right. Anything that ends up with more pussy for me, I should probably endorse. 3DPD, is the new religion.
You're right. They are terrible. They're disgusting.
Mating Habits of the Modern Geek. Find this and more at matinghabitsofthemoderngeek.com.
They. I watched Naruto on the TV. I'm an anime fan just like you.
Get out of here. Naruto is entry-level weeaboo crap. Smells as bad as your face. I'm Rhea One.
If y'all think that Microsoft Mike was tripping, and you agree with Microsoft Crystal like the champagne, then y'all should listen to the Daily Anime Podcast. So head on over to dailyanimepodcast.com and give it a listen, because we might not actually be daily, but we're the realest podcast there is when it comes to this anime nonsense.
Been in production for a really long time, but it's finally come out, and they've got a new actor as Mad Max.
Tom Hardy.
Right, and I don't know if this is like a reboot or a sequel. It seemed like his past was a little different.
It was, actually. Like, here was another thing that when I was mentioning to Surratt on Twitch, was the fact that he's just like, see, some people want to, like, there's the two sides of this where people think, like, it's his own original film. It's not tied to any other ones. There's nothing there to solidify it or whatever. And then you got people that are just like, well, yeah, it's definitely a sequel to, like, Road Warrior before Thunderdome or something. Or maybe it happened after Thunderdome. And so there's these different opinions on, like, when this, if it's still in the same timeline, instead of doing a whole reboot, it's still, like, a sequel to the other stuff. It's just happened much later than Thunderdome or maybe before Thunderdome. So it's really kind of hard to tell because, like, on the one end, like, I heard the After Thunderdome thing from Kevin Gray when he was on one of the recent episodes of Mating Habits of the Modern Geek. And they talked about that film, and he's just like, well, it's supposed to be, like, a couple decades after Thunderdome, which means that Max would be really, really old-looking, even though he's rather young in this. But then they got, like, see, like, for me, it's just like, I at first glance, I believe that it was between Road Warrior, maybe like the first film, like in Road Warrior, or maybe after Road Warrior, because like I based it on the fact that the V8 Interceptor was in this, even for a brief period, though, which like it sucked that the only complaint I have against this film is the fact that he didn't get his car back at the end. But maybe he did, so I don't know. But it's trashed out in the desert somewhere, is what we're led to believe.
I just see it as being its own thing, because it's hard to piece this in with the other stuff. There's like not enough clues to really tell you when it took place or whatever.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you brought that up, because I was going to say that it's been so long since Thunderdome that no one's really... People who go out and see this film more than likely have never seen the original films before. And really, like... If you're going to argue, like, what's the best Mad Max film to start from the original ones, I would obviously say Road Warrior. Because the first film was, like, set the ground for it and everything, because it does go back to when he said I was a cop, and that's when he was part of the Highway Patrol. And the first film, and that was, like, the director's first time, George Miller, doing this. And the first film is so hard to watch. Like, the action scenes is where it's really good. But the rest of it, in terms of pacing, and, like, he didn't really know what to do. And it really shows, but so it's really experimental. But, like, I think by the time Road Warrior came out, was like, it's like, let's just stick to the action part. That's the best part. And the Road Warrior is a very solid film on its own. And then Thunderdome was, it wasn't that good, but it's still a memorable film.
Thunderdome was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't get the end of Thunderdome. Like, we're towards the end with, like, he's out there with the kids, and they're trying to say, like, how they survive, but I never really fully understood that. But then they wind up taking back Bartertown anyways, so...
I mean, the main thing I remember about Thunderdome is the actual Thunderdome. I mean, the scenes where he's, like, swinging around in there and stuff, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, two man enter, no man, or one man leave.
Right, yeah.
I was gonna quote Aqua Teen Hunger Force when Meat Wad said it. He's just like, two man enter, no man leave, rated R.
That's
the
shame.
Episode where they get shrinked down by the shrink ray gun that Fry builds, and then Carl's just like he's beating up on he's been Shake had it, and he's beating up a Fryman. He's just like, look, man, Fryman, just take the fall. Shake promised me to get it so I can grow my Johnson bigger.
It's a shame that Aqua Teen's finally ending after 15 years.
You
but
know,
I guess it had to happen eventually.
It had to happen eventually, and I feel like it's gone downhill. It went downhill for a very brief period of time, or for a while, but it seemed like in the past couple of seasons where they didn't care, it still didn't have that... They had some really good episodes here and there that I really liked, but the rest of it was just average.
Yeah, I mean, around like 2005 or 2006, there was like a season or two that was really pretty bad.
Yeah, it just kind of got worse from there, because it's like they just started running out of ideas.
And then the newer seasons, I thought they were generally pretty good, but, I mean, it did have to end eventually. I mean, this show lasted much longer than...
It intended to be, yeah. I mean,
or than any of the other shows from back then, like Birdman or C-Lab or Brack Show. Those all ended, like, 10 years ago, and this is still going somehow, even though it's got, like, such a limited... A premise, you know, just like some fast food living in a house. Anyway, back to Mad Max.
So what was your, like, I think since we kind of established, like, sort of the recent films, like, this is kind of does well, I think, to stand on its own. I think really, like, if they took the Mad Max title out of it and just put Fury Road, then, like, it would have a Mad Max feel, but then, like, it wouldn't have to be, like, it wouldn't have to hold up to that Mad Max title, like, oh, is it tied to the original ones, or is this just a reboot or whatever? So, because if it was just Fury Road, or should I say Furiosa Road, since Charlize Theron was really more the main character, or they had sort of equal screen time, but I felt like it was really more her movie, in a way. But, like, I think if it was just Fury Road, it would be hold pretty well on its own. I mean, it already does it by itself, but I didn't know if you... look at it that way or not.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be tied to the other movies. I mean, it's kind of its own thing, but yeah, I mean, I guess people were trying to figure out from, well, I mean, what even is there that would make it seem like it's between Road Warrior and Thunderdome that people are catching on to try to pin it there, or between the original and Road Warrior,
Thunderdome. I guess it's because, like, it's his age. Max is still not too old, and, like, It's been like there's really not like a there's not a set date of how long like the first and second film timeline happened in that gap, but it's been like quite a few years and everything.
Yeah,
is what we're led to believe. And so like with this film, if it's after Thunderdome, then like, you know, Max is probably assumed to be like in his 40s or 50s or something at that point.
Well, it did seem like he was maybe the same character with a slightly changed past, and that it was just in the future but with a young actor, because you can't do like an old actor doing all these stunts or whatever.
What I also noticed was the fact that like Mel Gibson was not in this film at all, and I figured he would have like a cameo at least. But I think that's really good that he wasn't in this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I looked at the credits and nothing showed up unless he was in it uncredited or something. But well, I think if he was in the film, he would have a bigger role than just being like a background actor or something.
I'm glad that he wasn't also, because there would have been all these people griping about, you know, how can you give Mel Gibson a role after blah, 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 all this personal stuff.
Personal stuff that happened almost a decade ago that he's now getting his career back in order and his life. And, you know, I like seeing Mel Gibson act. I think I'm happy that he's still in movies. Maybe not as much, but, like, it's still nice to see him in films now. And because, like, there was that period where he didn't do anything for a few years, and he started getting back into films again.
Yeah, he was pretty much blacklisted for a while because of how he was acting.
Yeah, it was the alcoholism, and then, like, I mean, when he did Passion of the Christ, everyone loved that movie, and I never heard... I mean, I thought I heard Apocalypto was really good, but I haven't seen that film either. Yeah, it was just, like, after that whole thing with his, like, you know, his wife at the time, and he just had to get his priorities straight, and I believe he has. So, like, at least he's getting some acting roles again, so I'm happy about that. But anyways, I mean, like, really the plot of this film is just surviving, and it's the fact that Max has put himself in a situation from the opening of, like, what was really cool was the fact that, like, you get to see that two-headed lizard, and he stomps on it, and basically, like, kicks it into his mouth or something as nourishment. Then he tries to run from the whatever they're called, the ultra white people in the desert.
Yeah, one thing I didn't like about this is how almost all those guys like looked the same, and there were some of them that like I couldn't tell apart. Like when one of them was like crushed between two cars or whatever, I wasn't sure if it was the one good bald white guy or not. You know, like maybe that guy should have had something more to distinguish him than the two little bumps on him that had smiley faces that he talked to or whatever. I mean, it seems like the actors, a lot of those all looked kind of the same to me, and it was hard to tell them apart. But at least you can tell their leader apart, because he has that weird face mask on him, and the long hair. And
yeah, but unique. And here's a tidbit, too, that I heard about on Twitter, actually, was the fact that the bike leader guy from the first film was that same guy. It was the same actor. So it's much they got the same actor to like reprise his role as like you're in charge of this like a post-apocalypse like wasteland gang or something.
Is that supposed to be the same character?
No, like, it wouldn't be the same character because he died in the first film.
Well, I wasn't sure if this was like another part of the retcon or whatever, like where they maybe changed the past and made him not die in it or something, like how Max's past was changed.
Well, that would be kind of dumb because they would have to explain that in the film when they didn't. So, like, it wouldn't be the same character because, again, he got hit head-on with a semi-truck in the first film, so...
Yeah.
I think it's just, like, I think maybe they just asked him, like, hey, you want to be Mad Max again? He would be like, heck yeah. Where do I sign up? What do you got me doing? Main villain? Okay.
That's probably more likely, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, this film also... There's just a bunch of visually appealing things in this film. I mean, from the get, and then, like, really, they don't really explain a lot because it lets you kind of figure it out. Like, you know, this guy is in charge of a group of, like, you know, a little community of people, and also he's raising up his own army of, like, all those, because I think, like, all the people that fight for him are his, like, his sons over the years. Because he basically has a harem of people that have his children. And so then you've got the fat women that basically their job is to have their breast milked all the time, 24/7. And, you know, he's got the giant rock where he basically has a whole storage of water there and the reservoir of water there, plus, like, a greenhouse to have food. And then, you know, at the same time, he's basically a tyrant because he's letting the people below him starve and, you know, dehydrate. And he says, like, how their desire for water is a weakness. But at the same time, like, you know, he's – there's not only just that, but there's also, like, the other factions that are, like – they kind of work together, even though they probably don't even like each other. Like, you've got, like, the people from Gastown, which was the really fat dude that with, like, the giant, like, tumor feet. That way, he looked like he weighed 500 pounds, but then he also had, like, what was funny, like, when I watched it with my friends was the fact, and my girlfriend, too, was there was that scene where, like, they're talking about how to go after them at towards the end. And the fat dude is rubbing his nipple rings because they're exposed through his shirt and, like, there's a hole around them. And it reminded me of that episode of South Park with the customer service group that would be like, oh, that's really too bad. We can't help you. And then we started laughing about that because they reminded us of South Park, obviously.
Yeah.
But then you got, like, the characters that, like, you know, the military guy that uses his tooth as a bullet to go after Max and the gang and Furiosa. And I think what got me,
I also like the guy with the guitar that shoots out flames.
Yes, 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 that. So, like, I think, because I hope you noticed that that guy played the guitar the entire time nonstop.
Yeah.
That was his job, and his purpose in life was to hit the guitar bass, or the two-in-one guitar, all the time and shoot flames out of it. Except if they're, like, because you see him rest at, like, when they're stopping to figure out what's going on towards the end. And,
because at that point, I almost thought he was dead, because I thought he just does guitar constantly and he never sleeps.
Yeah. Well, I think, I honestly believe that vehicle was powered by his guitar, because he would have to play his guitar the entire time in order to run the vehicle. And you got the big people that are running the drums in the back. They're just for show. It's really him that's running it. He's using all the, he's got to play that guitar to keep the vehicle, the gears turning and everything. It makes sense to me.
Sure. new form of green energy, guitar playing.
Yeah, so okay. So if you're saying guitar playing is a new form of natural fuel or whatever, then everyone's going to have to go out and learn a guitar, which means there's going to be a lucrative business of jacking up prices for, like, Toys R Us guitars by 500,000%, followed by, like, people paying up the wazoo for guitar lessons. And it'll just be the same issue with fossil fuel, or not fossil fuels, but, like, vegetable oil when they tried using that for gas. Vegetable prices went up. So if they did that as a new way of, like, getting around, like, to power your vehicles, to shred your guitar, then, like, musical instruments will be going, like, their prices will be, like, insane.
Yeah.
So
that happens.
I'm just saying
corn.
From an economic standpoint, because money's got to be made from somewhere.
That happens with corn too, because of the whole ethanol thing.
The ethanol thing. Yep. Same thing.
But yeah. Anyway, there was also that really big guy. Was he the one who also had the tumor feet? I wasn't sure if they were two different.
Yeah, I think that was the guy from Gastown that wore, like, the millet. That really, he kind of reminded me of the Duke from Escape from New York, who wore, like, military chains and, like, all this like military stuff on him. Even though I doubt he was in the military, I don't know. But yeah, I think that's the same person. Crap. Yeah, there's so much to talk about in this film. Like, there's, like, in terms of characters, going back to that, like, I really, like, all right, let's talk about special effects. So the effects in this is fantastic because they made Charlize Theron have a numb arm and, like, a prosthetic robot arm. And that how they did that is just really awesome to look at. And then also, like, the fact that they went back to practical vehicle effects and just... And you got to admit, the entire movie is a nonstop action piece. Like, there's not a boring moment. And if there is, it's more character development for maybe 5 minutes until something else happens.
Yeah, there are, like, moments where they stop driving for a little while and they'll have, like, a revelation about, you know, spoilers, the green area turned into...
Well, yeah,
some
the green
awful area.
The green area turned into people walking on stilts.
Yeah, I don't quite get what, like, that was about.
There's just stuff like that that's in the movie that just, like, and you're thinking, like, well, why is that there? Like, some of it is just, like, visually great to look at. There's no reason, there's no need or reason to explain why it's there. That's just part of the environment, and you just, like, just something you just got to accept to it. So, like, that's just part of this world that they're in, is the people walking on stilts in the swamplands, doing whatever they do. But yeah, but in terms of the characters, like I like, because like I know like the guy that wound up joining them, the good bad guy or whatever, he tried dying to go to Valhalla, but he kept screwing that up all the time, which is so funny. But you know, he winds up being a really good character, and like you think there's going to be a love triangle between him and I think it was the redhead chick or something, mm-hmm. and then he wound up being the martyr to save them to head back to the main city.
One problem I have with the characters is I don't know any of their names except for Max.
Well, Charlize Theron is Furiosa because they did say her name because she went back to her hometown area or what's left of it, which is basically just like this metal power rod or whatever.
Was that the place where the old people were?
Yeah, and even the old people were so great as characters. Like, I love that scene when, like, the old woman is, like, they hold their own. Like, it's fantastic, but, like, you know, she's going to die, and she knows it. And so, like, the one of the harem chicks has her plant next to her, and you see this big smile on her face of, like, yep, I have lived life to the fullest, the best I could. And she died a happy woman. That touched me, man.
Oh, in the car during that chase scene when she was, like, going out? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, there's that, and, like, this is so much there. I guess like you can't really talk about too much because you don't want to spoil much of anything or whatever. But
it's not really about the story, in my opinion. It's really more about just seeing the special effects, like this sort of practical effects in 2015 is really cool to see.
And like how they did the final car chase with like Max being on the poles and swinging back and forth and everything, and like how all that done, that choreography is just so great. I mean, like, this is essentially George Miller coming in together and being like, this is the ultimate form of what Mad Max should be and needed to be for a very long time, and we got that. And the movie, when I went on Rotten Tomatoes, I was thinking, okay, maybe at best this movie has like a 70% or something. It had a 98%, and I heard it was at 100 until someone gave it one negative review, which is still very, 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 very impressive.
Yeah, for an action movie to get reviews this good is pretty rare. So
it may not make $3 quadrillion in a week, but by golly, people are going to know it's a great movie when they see it.
Yeah, I was at a comic store in Tucson a week ago, and everybody was talking about the box office numbers for this. It seemed like they were kind of like disappointed. Is it not doing that well? Or
well, I haven't even bothered to check the box office numbers, but let me go ahead and bless you. Let me go ahead and look at Wiki real quick. Because normally someone would have this up on there. All right, so Mad Max, Fury Road.
Fury Road.
Yeah, it's still holding a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got an 89% on Metacritic, which is apparently godlike. And then it's an 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's pretty good.
It's yeah, that's actually the best it's going to get. Let's see. So, the budget... Okay, so it made over... The box office made over its budget. The budget was $150 million. And so far, the box office has made $281.5 million.
Oh.
So, it's already made its money back. So, as long as it's done that, it's almost made double. So, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Probably people were just like, oh my god, it didn't do as well as Avengers 2. Well, Avengers 2 is one of the top grossing movies ever, so, you know, most movies are not going to do as well as Avengers 2.
No, I would have, like, never, you know, imagined this to be as high as Avengers 2 or whatever. I mean, like, there's no way, but, like, the fact that it held its own pretty well.
I mean, this is an R-rated movie, and Avengers 2, they're getting kids. With
PG-13, therefore, it's more accessible.
Right, they're getting kids in because it's about superheroes, you know. And plus, the Avengers, they've been doing a movie every year mm-hmm. to promote it, or two movies sometimes. And so, you know, it's got a lot of fans from each of the different superheroes, and Marvel has been promoting it very heavily. And, you know, they promoted it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV and everything. So it's got a lot more factors that are going to make it get more money, whereas this is a sequel to a movie series from 30 years ago, so it's impressive it even made this much.
Either like a, you know, reboot or a sequel to that, so
I mean, but it's related to that franchise, which is
Yeah.
A lot of people today probably didn't even know about it until this recent, until they started seeing trailers for this recent movie.
And then like, you know, they're probably, if you ask them, like, you know, there's other films of this, they're probably like, really? What? I didn't know that. You go to, like, Walmart freaking carries, like, the second and third movie in the one, like, the two-for-one packets for, like, $7. So, like, they're there. If people really looked, when it's, like, it's not like it's hiding from anyone, but if you go to a freaking retail store, you'll get that package of, like, the second and third movie, which is really all you need to see, IMO.
They aired it on AMC, I think, is where I saw it a few years ago.
Yeah, they have aired these movies on AMC in the past. I do remember seeing that, too. I remember putting it on there when it was, like, the 20th anniversary.
Yeah. So you can see it on TV. You can buy the DVDs. It's probably on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or something.
Yeah, and it'll be on, if it's not on Netflix now, it will be on there. It's probably on there now, like, or re-released on there now. I do want to say that this movie... So, did you know that this... Should it surprise you if I tell you that this movie had some social justice warriors criticism?
Oh, yeah, I have seen a little bit of that.
Okay, so here's what I heard today, because I listened to Alpha Counter, and both Sean and his co-host Matt were talking about this. So apparently, two sides of both feminist and meninist were upset at this film.
Yeah.
So the feminists, basically, they looked at this as a feminist film until Anita Sarkeesian decided to open her mouth and say, no, it's not considered this. You can't have fun. And then everyone's just like, oh, I changed my opinion, essentially what it is.
Okay, so what's Sarkeesian's gripe? Is she not like that there's any male characters in it?
Well, it's got the female characters are like... They don't really rely on, like, Max is holding them like a hostage at first, but they wind up working together. There's no romantic subplot, you know. Like, Furiosa is not a Mary Sue character, and like has to fall for Max because she's weak. She's tough as nails, and she's actually like she's even like stronger as a character than Max is, because Max is someone that like he looks out for himself because he's his goal in life is to just survive. Whereas for Furiosa, she's just like, hey, you know, it's not only survival, but I've got to look out for these girls, too. They're my life now.
Does she maybe not like that one girl who kept trying to go back to the bad guys?
Well, even so, there's always that one girl that goes back to the bad guys. Like, it's just how love works. It's weird. Like, women... like to go back to the people that they, even if it's an abusive relationship, most women or some of them or those type of women usually go back to the same boyfriend over and over because they don't know anything better than that.
I mean, you gotta keep in mind,
it's a mental thing too. I mean,
this is like a really bad situation that they're in. They're like running away into the desert, into God knows where. There's at least water back with that other guy. You know, she probably wasn't going to be able to make it long-term out there with those guys because they were just driving off into the sand until Max found a, you know, map or whatever get back there.
Yeah, they're in a situation where, like, they have this stranger that threatens them with a shotgun. And Furiosa has to defend them and everything. So they're all into this situation and they don't know what's going to happen. When they've grown up in this life of being breeders and, like, having everything given to them and being taken care of, even though it's very abusive, and they, like... It's like they know they want better out there, but they just don't know how. And they don't... So it's that mental thing, too. And, like, it's not just that... That's not just something that goes along with women. It's, you know, anybody. I mean, like, an example I can think of is... the Bible in Exodus. Like, the Jews fled Egypt, and they whined after, like... when they left to go back because at least they had food there. And Moses is like, you know, WTF, what the hell's wrong with you? You guys were, you know, bitching and complaining about being back there with the Pharaoh. And like, you wanted to be free. I'm your savior. Cause God anointed me to do that. And we're out here in the desert, even though we're away from them. And you want to go back. Middle finger, double that to you guys. God, they're your people. So that's essentially, Exodus in a nutshell. For to sum it up, yes. So. But it's that same thing where it's like they're you know, you're a prisoner and you don't know anything. You don't, like, you know there's something better out there, but you have no grasp of it. So you have this natural human tendency to go back to the abusive side of it. Because it's like you're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of, like, if it'll be better or worse. And like, so it's just better to stay where you're at, where it's comfortable, even if you don't like it all the time. And so that's kind of like my psychological view on that. It's nothing to do with feminism. It's a human trait thing. It's like, that's something we all do and have. And so like to say that this movie isn't feminist, even if it's not, like, the feminist title shouldn't even go with it. It's just a great movie, period. It's just got strong females in it. And, you know, I guess you could say it's feminist. Fine, whatever. It's just a great film, and there's good character development in it.
It's, and like, feminist in the classical sense of, like, women should be, you know, not considered property. But they haven't been in, like, 100 or more years. So that's really not, like, a relevant modern cause. It's just saying, like, if people were out in the desert and, you know, living like primitives, like maybe in the Middle East or something, it would be a relevant theme. But in America, that's not some groundbreaking thing to say you shouldn't force women against their will to have your children and be your harem and stuff. Like, you know, it's not like a radical feminist movie, so maybe that's why Sarkeesian doesn't like it, because it doesn't push the boundaries enough and say that they should have killed Max for putting a gun to their heads or whatever and shooting that girl's leg.
Here's two things. Number one, Sarkeesian came into this film like all she does with the rest of the film. She comes in there with blinders on to look for certain things, and if they don't match that to that criteria, then it's a terrible movie. That's number one. Number two is, to kind of debunk your statement there, there's also human sex trafficking that happens in America. Apparently South Carolina is one of the worst states in this country that deals with this, because we, as a state, don't give a shit.
What, like Russian mail order brides or something?
Worse than that. I mean, there's people I know in my church that have started a halfway house for people that are like coming out of being sex traffickers. So like, it's apparently a huge hotspot here in the state, is what I heard. But then also, like, you get the fact that, like, there's these cults out there that people that do polygamy and have, like, all these, have a harem of wives, basically. So, and also there's Mormonism, that's, like, I guess the true form of that is have polygamy and practice that, too, which is basically a harem, so.
Yeah, I guess on my half of the country here, we've got in the north part of this state, there was this fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints that, I think the guy was called Warren Jeffs, has this big harem of underage girls and stuff. It's true that this stuff is an issue still, but, I mean, it's not like this is a general cultural norm. This is very much deviant behavior in America to have, like, a harem of women who are forced to live with you against their will. Like, that's not some, like, daring thing to denounce that in a movie or whatever, but I mean, it's not a bad message either, of course. I mean, it's something everybody should be able to say, this is a fine message here. And yet people still find a way to complain, because on the other side of the coin from the feminists, there's the men's rights people who are saying, you know, what are these girls doing in Mad Max or whatever?
This is supposed to be a guy film with muscles and burly men and punching the crap out of stuff. Well, there's Kung Fury for that. We just talked about it. So,
and even that had the Valkyrie chicks.
Yeah, and they shot machine guns, which is pretty awesome. So, and they're not Mary Sue's either. But yeah, I guess
saw a complaint claiming this was racist because there's only one black character in it. So apparently, even if you include a black character, you're still being racist against black people.
You know, double middle fingers to all those people. That's all I can say. So,
it's really getting pretty tiresome every time anything comes out. The diversity police have to come in and say, you know, did you meet this or that quota with how many actors you have of this or that race? And, like, do you remember when Al Sharpton was complaining about the awards last year? It was like the Academy Awards or something. He's like, there wasn't a black person nominated for Best Actor, so clearly this is a sign the Academy Awards are racist, you know? Like, really, can't we just get over this already? I mean,
Al Sharpton is the old guard that needs to die out immediately. That's all I'm going to say. And as long as that man is still alive, I think I know we're getting a social justice. Who cares? I mean, we're already leading to this anyways. This is why Mad Max is a good film, because we can talk about these social issues. But I mean, I think with Al Sharpton is the fact that it's like whenever he gets into a picture of something, especially with these you know, those police shootings, and they're bad, and they're, you know, they're wrong and everything, and how cops handle African-Americans. I understand that. but it's stirring up the pot and adding nitroglycerin, covered or smothered over a nuclear bomb whenever Al Sharpton gets into those situations, because then it just gets worse from there. And yeah, this is someone that just doesn't need to be involved. Like, we understand this is a race issue. We get that. And but, like, by stirring the pot that much, it's making it worse. We're at the point where we get these riots because then people have to feel entitled that, you know, yeah, one thing happened to this black person, I understand. It does affect a community and everything. But that it shouldn't cause every black person out there to freaking tear down their freaking city to stop the violence or whatever. But when they're F it. I don't have to explain the rest of it. I think you guys can figure it out. It's just stupid. It's pointless because it's sparking that flame that causes all that racial tension stuff. And it's not, I'm not saying sweeping under the rug, but if you look at it from a very peaceful view, which is like, I think it's a media thing. And if the media wasn't involved as much, then I don't think it'd be as bad, because then people see the media like, whoa, you know, my brothers and sisters are destroying their city, so I need to do the same thing. It's just like, that's not helping anything, and you're not doing any social good cause about that. So,
yeah, I mean, I hate to talk at like a kindergarten level at these people, but two wrongs don't make a right here. I mean, clearly committing more violence isn't going to stop the violence from the cops. If anything, it's going to make it worse, because then they're going to start arresting you because you're destroying innocent people's property.
Or having your mother beat your ass on national live news. That was something that happened in what was it? I think
Baltimore.
It was Baltimore. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
and
Jay
they interviewed
Turner.
Her, and I'm just like, bravo.
Jay Turner posted that in the chat. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's right, because I saw that on the CBS news, too. I'm just like, you're never going to live that down if your mom kicking your ass on the news. And you had it coming, too. So.
Yeah.
But she was doing the right thing of, you know, being like, hey, you know, you don't need to be out there. You don't. You're my kid. You're doing wrong. You're going to sass me. I'm going to smack you upside the head. Because you're my son. Then I got to teach you right. So, yeah, she did an excellent thing. Anyways.
Probably if there are more parents like that, it would not be as big of a problem here. Probably the lack of community values is a big part of what's causing these people to do what they're doing. I mean, there's no, like, general ethos against committing acts of vandalism and destruction and burning people's cars and houses and stores down and stuff that, like, there should be. And
all of this is the reason why the world burned.
I mean, Al Sharpton has a TV show on MSNBC where he stokes this up every time, and he said in the past during interviews that he's never going to criticize Obama on his show. So it's clear that, you know, he's not impartial on any of these issues. You know, when Obama says... Right. That Trayvon could have been my son, and obviously Al Sharpton is going to take a side on this. You know, he's going to say that Trayvon didn't do anything wrong by attacking Zimmerman first, like it's alleged to happen. So, I mean, you have to just examine this stuff case by case. You can't just say all these cases are police brutality or overstepping their authority or whatever. You can't say blacks always have it coming. You know, people just have to think about it more rationally and not just start rioting over, you know, their instinct of it being wrong or whatever. They have to actually, in a lot of these cases, it doesn't even go to a trial because, like in the Michael Brown case, the guy had jumped the cop and tried to take his gun after committing a robbery.
Right.
Clearly, this is not going to be ending in the cop getting arrested for trying to save his own life and bring down a criminal. I mean... And it's not going to change that to start rioting, because the facts are what they are. The court already examined the case and determined that the cop didn't do anything wrong. So, you know, you can comb over these people's Facebooks or whatever and try to find people saying something wrong or whatever. Like, I think they found, like, Michael Brown's shooter's wife said something racist, or, you know, they always try to find something like that. But that's not going to bring back the dead people. It's not going to solve anything to just try to stoke people up about this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we went way off topic here, but but it's related to this because everything these days has to be seen through this, you know, social justice warrior lens, where everything is either advancing the cause and a great asset for feminism, as people were claiming about this at first, or else it's a racist, sexist, homophobic, misogynistic, anti-Semitic, and a million other awful things. But you know, people should try to just not jump on bandwagons of saying, you know, this is a racist movie because there's only one black person in it, or this is a sexist movie because Mad Max points a gun at some girls at some point, or, you know, it is a movie. It's not supposed to be like, you don't want to be Max, you know, you don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. This is not...
Yeah, this is a story of these people, how they survive. This is how they handle the world that they're in. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not to give a message of pro-sexism or, you know, social, you know, it's basically telling a story, whether you setting a story up for you to understand, so you can understand the characters and their position outside your own understanding of the world, how you think it looks.
Yeah, because we're not living in the same world these characters are living in. They're going to do things that are a lot more drastic than anything we're ever going to do. But that's because they're in a drastic situation. You know, drastic times require drastic measures.
And it makes you think of, like, you know, if you're in Max's position and, like, you know, you don't know what's going on and everything. You have a gun, you're going to point it up, even though the gun. Well, I don't want to spoil it. Well, I mean, it was empty anyways. But I think that was a little homage to the Road Warrior. Because in that Road Warrior, he had a double barrel that didn't have any ammunition in it. But I guess that's a spoiler or whatever. But yeah, it was the fact that, like, you know, Max is, like, only concerned about him and him only because that's the only person he's known to take care of. It doesn't – race or gender or anything has no – doesn't mean anything in that situation. It's the fact of, like, I'm here to survive. I'm here to get out of this. I don't care who you are or what you are. And it's not hatred towards you. I just need to get out of this situation. And he winds up, like, working with him anyways. So it all benefits them. And so they wind up learning to trust him and everything, especially Furiosa. But I guess we, in terms of the movie, there's just, like, I don't want to say too much because I want people to see it. And we've kind of already said some things about it that were really cool. But, definitely go. This movie is pretty gory, too. And, I actually enjoyed it, so it was kind of, like, nice to see that get past the MPAA instead of, like, oh, we have blood, but you can't show it in this certain light or something. So it was almost like sort of a slasher flick kind of thing. This movie's supposed to be made fun. I mean, like, it's supposed to be just fun to watch, and not everything is meant to be taken seriously or whatever. It's not a case study to support your beliefs online. Ugh. Go see Mad Max Fury Road. That's what we're trying to say.
It's a solid action movie. It's not like a statement on, you know, whether or not the feminists or the MRAs are right in Gamergate or whatever. You know, try to get out of the internet mindset when you see this and pretend that it's 1985 again and just have a good time.
And no one cares about any of the stuff that you care about. And it's the greatest feeling you will ever have. Just go see a movie, especially Mad Max, and whatever blinders or whatever idea that you're trying to look for it, shut that down, turn that off, sit in the theater and say, I don't know what I'm going to see, but just show me what you got, and don't have any criticism, don't have any expectations, and you will have an enjoyable time.
Yeah, because...
Just turn all that off. It's like basically restarting your human brain computer, and like the viruses is your social justice warriors, or SJW whatever mindset or feminism mindset that you hold true and dear, when it's basically like killing you as a person maybe inside. So to that extreme, it's not, but yeah, I think your personality probably, but your internet, you know what I mean.
I mean, it's destroying their ability to just enjoy anything because they're constantly on the lookout for, you know, everything is sexist, everything is racist, everything is transphobic, and it just goes on and on, the list of things. Like, if this doesn't have a character
who works, I mean, go to any other country other than the US and that's how it works.
Yeah.
India has a freaking hierarchy system. You don't like it, they'll kill you. Go to the Middle East, they got a hierarchy system. Don't like it, they'll kill you. That's how the world works, and you either adapt or you die. So not hard to understand.
I mean, I do wonder how many countries this movie is, like, getting released in, because I imagine it's banned in Saudi Arabia and stuff.
Oh, because the women are empowered in it.
Well, I mean, they're not wearing burqas or whatever.
Countries, it'll do well in Europe, it'll do well in, like, the, or, yeah, I said Asian countries, I include South Asia or whatever. It'll probably go well in India or whatever, so.
Yeah, I would guess it'll come out in, like, Japan and Korea and maybe China and probably...
Oh, yeah, and it'll make, like, 30 trillion yen there, so...
Yeah, I mean, it always makes... It seems like movies always make their budget on China lately, like, that's sort of...
Yeah,
Pacific Rim 2 is being made because of China.
Yeah, it's obviously going to do well in Australia, of course, but...
It was released
the day before it came out in the United States and Australia, so it's just going to be worldwide at some point, so...
This is the sort of movie that's gonna make a lot of money off the international market, I think, because of how much action it has, you know?
Yeah, like, and people in Japan love Mad Max, as far as I know, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would make sense, because I think I've heard that the Fist of the North Star creators were inspired by Mad Max.
Totally. I mean, like, Road Warrior came out in 82, and Hokuto no Ken came out. The manga came out in 83, and the anime was 84.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely took inspiration from this. So yeah, I mean, people still love and talk about Hokuto no Ken in Japan. So like they're gonna all go see this movie, I'm hoping, or like they'll just go to like Gaio and rent it on DVD and then burn it to their computers. So, but regardless, like, yeah, this movie's fine. So, I think I've said everything I wanted to say about it. I mean, my biggest thing was talking about the guitarist. Player that runs the vehicle. That was the biggest thing for me, and then also like some of the other characters, but it's a fantastic film, and I'm glad it's doing as well as it is.
Yep.
And yeah, and I don't know if there's going to be like, if there's a comic book series after this, I'll definitely like start reading it or picking it up. I don't know what'll happen.
Well, they're making next?
To what?
Aren't they making a video game of Mad Max next?
Yeah, I'm getting that. That comes out September 1st. So, but that's more like, it's kind of like a driving game, but then also Gotham Knight or the Arkham Asylum games, because there's the same combat system in it.
And that's for like PS4, right?
And PC, since I got a PC.
Okay.
I'm looking at AIM, and apparently Cloud saw a Coke drink with my name on it. Like my literal name on it, and son of a bee, I've been wanting to look for one. Hold on.
What?
Can you get that drink for me? It's those, you know how Coke was like, we're going to put your name on like the labels or whatever, and then Cloud took a picture of a Coke at, I guess, somewhere that had my name on it, and I'm telling him like...
It says Dustin?
Yeah, it does say Dustin on it. I didn't think they would ever make those.
That's random.
Yeah, I'm like... You should have bought it, man, and then just mailed it to me. That's what you're supposed to do, Cloud. Not just like, here's a picture, at least you know it exists. I'm like, get two so I can drink one and then save the other one. Anyways, but I'm all out of the gasoline to talk about Mad Max Fury Road. Unless you have something else you want to say.
No, not really. We might be recording a second part of this on Wednesday, because Daft says he wants to talk about Kung Fury and Mad Max also. Or maybe not, because you never really know if he's actually going to show up. But
I might just throw his opinion in on like a random episode months down the road. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
He has talked way too much. Oh, and then apparently Trillion has crashed on me.
Oh,
so.
Great.
Yep. Piece of garbage. All right, what have you got for closing remarks? I guess we're at that point.
Okay, I guess I'll go with Chris talks about lesbian history.
Oh, boy. How much history does he know?
He says, I do not know or understand every single thing. Nobody knows everything.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, he considers this like a great concession. I am not perfect either. Nobody is perfect. But I have read, reread, and read more than another time lesbianism in American history to fully understand the struggles and pains we soul sisters had to go through for our present and future generations. And it took a lot, with a capital L, to get us from perverted doctors prescribing whoring us out with the law, capital L, turning a blind eye during the 1800s to the equal rights protests we continue to march in today. When I tell you friendship, capital F, is my top priority to me with the women, I damn well mean it, just that from the bottom of my woman's soul and heart. Okay? And you haters who continue to offer nothing positive contributional, I tell you all, to the left and far well behind me, in the distant past with you and your cruel ways. Good day.
What? I can't understand that sentence.
Yeah, it's terrible. To the left and far well behind him, apparently. For all the haters. Yeah. There's other stuff on here, but it's all old.
Speaking of trans people, apparently Olympic athlete Bruce Jenner had a sex change. Or I guess he's officially a woman now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not putting my head in that hornet's nest of LGBT BBQ community to find out what they think of it, because they're probably just going to be accepting, as they usually are.
Well, they're upset because he also said that he's a Republican.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But who cares? Realize this is the answer. Who cares? That's hilarious. I'm thinking, because as soon as I saw that in the news, I'm like, okay, great. I'm sure that trans community is going to be so accepting of him, and it's like a big, you know, like thumbs up in the air for them. And then now you're telling me like they're mad at him because he's Republican.
Well, they're saying like the log cabin Republicans are voting against their own interests, and they need to support the Democrats because the Democrats support gay marriage, and Bruce Jenner needs to become a Democrat instead because blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's Republican because Republicans support the rich working class.
Yeah, because he's
rich.
And
he makes a ton of money because he was an Olympic athlete and had children of the Kardashians. God willing, that about that family. But no, he's going to be part of a state Republican.
Wait, what is his relation to the Kardashians?
He's the father of their children. He's the father of them, I believe.
Oh.
That's the way I understood it, yeah.
So he already had sex before he got his dick removed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's Kim Kardashian's father, I thought.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't follow that family, because why would I?
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, but that's Hollywood for you. I want to quote things from Mad Max. Let me think about this for a sec. Thunderdome, two men enter, one man leave. Or, you want to get out of here alive, you talk to me. Or, the gasoline. Or, Lord Humongous, give us the gasoline. I just want to go back to Road Warrior. About everything. Oh man, I already quoted freaking Kung Fury. You already said that, so.
We quoted that one a lot.
Yeah, that was an hour ago. Dadgummit, man. I think that's all I want to say about Mad Max. That might be the only time we ever really get into a conversation about Mad Max, so I figured I'd just say those, whatever I remember. I guess that's it. I think probably our next recording is going to be E3. And I'll try to get this out as soon as possible. And if Daft decides to record, well, that'll just be on a later episode or something.
All right. So E3 is like, what, the 13th through the 15th or something like that?
It's like 15th something, middle of the month. So let me check. Welcome to E3. You're not telling me what the date is. I don't get, like, here's the thing about E3. Like, I like how like all these companies are releasing stuff about it, like all these trailers, like before the convention. But then like they're still going to re-air the same trailers. All right, it's 16th to the 18th, so that's like a Tuesday through a Thursday.
Okay,
yeah,
so about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Or 2 weeks from tomorrow. From tomorrow.
I guess we still need to do the anime that they requested on. Indiegogo, the
shoot, yeah,
ugly yet beautiful world, and the other thing.
Yeah, I was really interested in the other thing too. I gotta look at the Facebook thing. We didn't forgot. I covered one of those at Animazement with Sean Ryan. So one of our perks are done. So I've got to go back and edit that. That should come out probably after my Animazement review whenever I get to that. But then I also got the Anime Boston thing to figure out what I want to do with that. So now I've got this whole backlog of stuff that I need to. I don't know if I need to go on a 1 week thing to try to catch up and then like just kind of like, all right, we'll just figure out whatever. So
I think there's also a seasonal anime podcast from like 6 months ago too.
I don't know if I'm going to release the winter stuff. It's just, I don't know. I'm debating about that. Because like, what was it? You guys recorded what? You talked about Chris Chan the first half of it, and then it's like, all right, let's talk about anime.
Yeah.
For the last half. Like,
that's one of those ones where part of the file is like, I think it was three parts or something. Maybe the first part or maybe the first two parts are not good.
Yeah, but then we had so much to talk about since then. It's just like so null and void. And then you guys already kind of covered winter season anime or stuff that's continuing from the winter season. So that technically counts.
Well, I mean, so, if Crunchyroll is going to be sponsoring us, we might as well air our reviews of some of the stuff they have on there, like the more recent stuff, because they don't have much in the way of older stuff.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I don't know anything about the Crunchyroll thing. We've got to talk to that lady on Friday from Oxford Road. I'm skeptical about that.
Did you give her my phone number?
I didn't, but I can. I got your phone number, so I can go ahead and give her that.
Okay.
I just figured we'd do it on Skype, and I can sit here in my house and do it. So I guess we'll do a conference call or something. I'll give her your number, and I don't know, man. Like, the fact that she's not answering about doing things on Skype and not giving me any reason, I'm kind of skeptical of that, because that's like what I want to. That's what we should stick with, because that works for us. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really familiar with conference calls, but if it works,
It's supposed to. According to her, it's supposed to be 20 minutes. I mean, all I want to do is ask questions, what they want us to do, what do we get out of it in terms of funding. That's about it. I mean, that's really my only questions. And I mean, if they're gonna like, if it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, put a Crunchyroll ad on the side, and if people use your site to get the Crunchyroll, you get a payment out of that. If that's really what it is, we'll do it. I mean, that's not hard, but that might be all that it is. It's like, you know, like just have a Crunchyroll link or something, or add it to your post as a promotion thing, and that's all you got to do, and you'll get some sort of percentage out of that. I'm thinking, well, that's. I mean, if people use it, that's fine. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, that's probably just what it is, but.
Yeah, but I figured I like to talk to her and communicate with her and be like, all right, so I understand you're interested in us. What do we have to do on our ends? Because I feel like I'm not going to jump into this yet until I talk to her. We talk to her, I should say.
We'll see what happens on Friday. We'll just have to.
Yeah, the time that I got, I think it's 5 to 5:30 my time, so I think it's like 1 to 1:30 yours. It's how she put it. Because I asked if it was like if it was one my time, and then she winds up doing this calendar schedule thing, and it's like 5 o'clock my time. Like, fine, whatever. So we'll see.
Well, it's 3 hours earlier here than there, so that would be, I guess, 2 to 2:30 if it's 5 to 5:30 there.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. But
okay.
All right. Yeah, we're an hour and a half into this. I think we need to go ahead and shut it down.
Okay.
All right. Tune in next time, guys. The desert sun, there is never-